For a few moments tonight, turn with me to verse 75. I know, Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Dear congregation, we read in Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Dear brethren, we have a loving Heavenly Father who deals with us not only in a fair way, but also in a faithful way. And he comes to rebuke us in accordance to his love and in accordance to his faithfulness. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ, what he said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And he said those words to a particular church, but he says it to his church as a whole here upon earth. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And so we expect to be chastened in our lives. We are loved with that special love. And so he will come and rebuke us in that loving way. But the psalmist here in our text tonight acknowledged the Lord's faithfulness in coming and afflicting him. I know, Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Well, as we come to these words tonight and a few other words surrounding this text, I'd like us to consider, first of all, the faithfulness of God in affliction. Secondly, the pain of affliction. Thirdly, the blessing of affliction. The faithfulness of God in affliction, the pain of affliction, and the blessing of affliction. I know, Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Well, let's consider first of all then tonight, the faithfulness of God in affliction. Dear brethren, in our lives, let us recognize God's faithful hand. You remember when Naomi came home? She came to Bethlehem. And we're told in Ruth chapter 1 verse 19, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the mighty have dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? And there Naomi, she recognized God's hand. And dear brethren, we need to recognize God's hand. And in doing so, and in humbly coming to him, we'll be able to say with the psalmist, that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Dear brethren, when afflictions come in this world, many murmur and complain in a sinful way. Some turn and blame God. How could God allow this to happen in my life? Dear brethren, note here the psalmist in this psalm, in a humble and godly way, he recognized the hand of God, the faithful hand. I know, Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. And as we think of this tonight, and as we consider this subject of affliction and the Lord's faithfulness, though in a moment we will consider the pain that we might experience in the time of chastening, let us be thankful for his faithfulness. In faithfulness, dear brethren, he will train us up as children. Now let me underline early on that this important truth. We must not think that everything that happens to us is because the Lord is chastening us for some sin. No. There are some things we face which are painful, which the Lord, in accordance to his will and in his providence, has brought our way that we might lean upon him, that we might learn the lesson of leaning upon him. It's not to do with some sin that we've committed. No, there's another reason here. So let that be underlined right at the outset tonight. Beware how you read providence, because you can read providence wrong. We must be very careful on that. Sometimes we want to read, as it were, providence. Well, look at that. That must be what I'm to do then. That's what the Lord is teaching me. But we've read providence wrong. Beware how you read providence. When you read providence, make sure you're praying and make sure you're reading the Word of God and bringing it all to Him. Dear brethren, as we think of this tonight, let us recognise God's hand. For the psalmist here paused and in humility with a godly wisdom uttered these words. He's a humble man. I know, Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. He's humble, but you see here his godly wisdom. He's wisely in a godly way recognising God's hand. Oh, for a spiritual view of heavenly things. That's important, isn't it? A spiritual view of heavenly things. We can have an unspiritual view of certain things. We can come to the Word of God and we come with our murmurings and we come with our complaints. Why, Lord? But see here the psalmist. He humbly comes before the Lord. He thinks of the Lord and with godly wisdom. And dear brethren, oh, for godly wisdom in affliction to trace the hand of God. Well, let's think of the faithful hand of God. I know, Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. In faithfulness. And as we draw to a close tonight, we'll see a great blessing in recognising the faithful hand of God. Let's always have this perspective on view. It is his faithful hand. He comes in that faithful way and afflicts us. God is faithful, dear brethren. In Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 we have these precious words. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. He's God, the faithful God, our covenant God. He's faithful. When we think about God, he is faithful. One to be trusted. The Hebrew Aman speaks of to be steadfast, sure. He does not change. You remember those words in James 1 verse 17? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He does not change. He cannot change and fail us. Let's remember that in affliction. When the Lord chastises us, he cannot change nor fail us. He is faithful. He keeps his word. The Apostle Paul, writing to Titus, said in Titus 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Which God that cannot lie. God is faithful. He is faithful in and of himself. The Lord may help us to be faithful. But when we consider God, he is faithful in and of himself. He is eternally faithful. He is infinitely faithful. There's no doubt here. God is faithful. We can rest in him. We can rest in him that we are saved. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. See the faithfulness of God in effectual calling. You are called effectually. Admire the faithfulness of God in it. You are called into fellowship with Christ, into union with Christ. Admire the faithfulness of God and let that lead you to the covenant of grace and admire his faithfulness in the covenant of grace. Dear brethren, let's be often thinking of the faithfulness of God in our lives. In different situations. And when we come to this subject of chastisement, let's think often of his faithfulness. In Lamentations 3 verse 22 we read, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, new every morning. And you see there we ought to, every morning, consider the faithfulness of God. We're not consumed. We're under his care. We're saved. We're on our way to glory. And so many blessings on the way. Oh, consider his faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Will you say that when he chastises you? Great is his faithfulness. You may not want to say it, but it's the absolute truth. For what do we read here? And that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Great is thy faithfulness. Consider him. He's so faithful. You can reach out to him then. You may be in the darkness of affliction, but you can reach out to him. Sometimes we get power cuts, don't we? Well, think of a child when the power cut comes. The child's worried. Well, the father comes alongside and says to the child, follow me. And the child reaches out their hand to grab hold of the father, and they follow the father. Dear brethren, trust your heavenly father. He is faithful. He will not fail you. God is faithful. And God is faithful in chastising us. Note these words again. That thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. He's right. He acts in a just way. We note that in the opening part of the verse. I know, Lord, that thy judgments are right. There's no question. Providence may be dark and mysterious, but he is just in all his dealings. And he's faithful in sending affliction. As we think of this, consider his love. He's faithful in his love. His love does not fluctuate when we consider God himself. He has such a love for you. And he's faithful in that love. So he comes and chastises you. Hebrews 12 verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He loves you. Went to see an elderly lady just after dinner today, and sat in her front room in the village, and we were talking on the importance of love in the family. Parents are to have love to their children. And it's a blessing where love is found. It's not always found in certain families, is it? What a blessing where love is found in the family. Well, in the church family, love is so important. Love must be encouraged and expressed. But consider such a wondrous love, a glorious love, the love of God, and the love God has towards his children, towards his special family. And see here tonight a way in which his special love is manifested toward them. In faithfulness hast thou afflicted me. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. How amazing that he loves us. He loves us with such a special love. And in that special love, he will come and chasten you. You see, he's faithful in his love. When you feel God's hand on you, and God has made it plain to you, this is because of something you've done, think of his love. When he deals with you in affliction, remember you are so loved. When in faithfulness he sends affliction, remember he is faithful to his love. And then consider further, God is faithful to his covenant. As we think of the covenant of grace and the application of redemption from effectual calling to glorification, remember the blessings towards his people in sanctifying them. He's faithful to the covenant, so he will come and chastise us in order that we will be sanctified further. He's faithful to his covenant, so he must come and chastise you and me. Listen to Spurgeon on this. It was the faithfulness of God to his covenant which brought the chosen one under the rod. Think of the covenant of grace. That's one of the reasons we're chastened in our lives. God is faithful. In a moment we'll sing those words in Psalm 89, verse 30. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then would I visit their transgression with the rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. It won't fail because of the covenant. Think what we're seeing in the church today. Many are abandoning the fourth commandment. Let me underline this tonight. God's hand of chastisement is on the church. We see that plainly in light of the word of God. If his children, we're not thinking about the world here, if his children forsake my law, and there's been a forsaking of the fourth commandment, we are under God's chastening hand as the church in this country. However, he will not take his loving kindness away. He is faithful to his covenant. And then one more thing here. Remember, there is a limit to what we must go through. And this is all summed up and it's attributed to the faithfulness of God in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. They have no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now we can think of all affliction there. But in light of our subject tonight, we can consider this chastening hand. And God is faithful. There will be a way of escape. There is a limit. In faithfulness, he will chastise us in accordance to his love. But there will be a limit because of his faithfulness and because of his love. Well, firstly tonight then, the faithfulness of God in affliction. But let's move on and consider secondly, the pain of affliction. Now in the veil of sufferings, we face sorrow and pain. Often it's not easy. Remember, you have a sympathizing high priest. But let's focus now, particularly pain in chastisement. We can think of affliction as a whole, and there's certain afflictions we face, not because we've done some sin, but in the providence of God, we must go through them for a certain reason for his glory. But let's focus tonight, in light of the context of this psalm, pain in chastisement. And as we approach this subject, let's underline this again. When we face pain, it's because of the faithfulness of God. When we face pain, it is because of his infinite love. In the chastening or training up of a child, there will be pain. As a boy, I used to often be in trouble and in need of discipline. And I had a number of smacks. And to my shame at times, I smiled at my mother because she couldn't smack me hard enough. So harder chastisement was called for, and I felt the pain. And under God's hand, his children will feel pain in chastisement. Hebrews 12 verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I think there the word chasteneth, it speaks of this training. We're thinking of the child being trained, but then there is the pain where there is the need. And it's necessary. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Every son. So all of us who are believers are going to face pain under God's hand in our lives. Hebrews 12 verse 11. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It's grievous. It's hard. The psalmist knew this in Psalm 32 verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. See there the psalmist, he felt the chastening hand of God upon him. And he felt that pain. He knew grief within. Psalm 6 verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Rebuke me not in thine anger, the fatherly anger of God. The fatherly hot pleasure, displeasure rather, of God. Neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. And dear brethren, we must humbly recognize before the Lord, there are times when our Heavenly Father is grieved with us. And there is his fatherly anger. We need to recognize this, dear brethren, as we spend a moment in recognizing God's chastening hand, that can be an aid to assurance. There will be pain. There will be the pricking of the conscience, the cutting in the heart. The Lord will put his finger on us. Look what you did. Look what you said. He'll bring it to our memory, remembrance. There'll be the pricking of the conscience, and we'll feel the hand of God on us. There will be that crushing feeling within. We will experience a broken heart. You remember Peter? He denied the Lord. We're told in Luke 22, verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. There's Peter. He's going on. He's denied the Lord. He's not really moved. He denies the Lord again. He's not really moved. He denies the Lord again. He's not really moved. But then the cock crows and the Lord catches his eye. And dear brethren, there are times in our lives when we go on and we seem to be desensitized to sin in some area of our lives. And then the Lord catches our eye. My mother used to catch my eye often in the services at Totten. She used to sit up the front, not in the pulpit of course, but on the side with an organ. And when I caught her eye, I just hanged my head in shame. Dear brethren, do we hang our heads in shame when the Lord catches our eye? What do I mean? We're conscious. The Lord has brought it to bear in our minds. The Holy Spirit has convicted us. The Lord saw me do that. The Lord knows what I've done. I acknowledge my transgression before thee, Psalm 32. The Lord catches, the Lord looks, and we feel his gaze. The loving gaze of Christ, what must have Peter seen in the eye of Christ? Disappointment. But he also saw love, and his heart was melted. His conscience was pricked. What are we told? He went out and wept bitterly. What had he done? This pain. And dear brethren, the Lord will put his finger on us. And there'll be no way to turn but to look to him, Lord, have mercy on me. It's not joyous, this pain. And at such a time we need to pray to the Lord, heal my broken heart. You know, the Lord has his finger on the church in this nation. We really have to look at the forsaking of the fourth commandment. And there's a great need for the church in this nation to cry for mercy. Lord, have mercy. Well, the Lord will put his finger harder on the church because he so loves the church. And he will deal with us. We go astray. He will deal with us. That's plain in Psalm 89. The shepherd will deal with us. At times we can go on thinking, well, I'll just put that to one side, but the Lord brings it back until he humbles us. There will be pain. I can think back to times when I was a child, I knew pain, when my parents trained me up. And dear brethren, we as children will continue to know pain as our Heavenly Father deals with us. We're thirdly and finally tonight, the blessing of affliction. The blessing of affliction. Verse 75. I know, Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Now here's the psalmist. He's thinking here. He's humble before the Lord, and he has this godly wisdom. He's looking at this with a spiritual eye. He's being inspired. He's looking at this with a spiritual eye, and he's recognizing the faithfulness of God in what has been sent to him. Psalm 94, verse 12, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. You see there plainly the blessing of chastisement. Dear brethren, let me underline tonight. Though we know at times pain, and we, like Peter, will weep bitterly, we're in a blessed state. Think of the unconverted. They face God's punishments, but not us. We face his chastisements. And let's thank God for that tonight. We're never punished. We're only chastised because Christ bore our punishment in full. What a blessed state we are in. What a blessed state to have a Heavenly Father who deals with us in such a faithful way because he so loves us. That's a blessing, isn't it? Let's just note a few things in closing tonight. Firstly, if you think the blessing of chastisement or the blessing of affliction. Firstly, chastisement is used in restoring a wandering sheep. Come with me to verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. There's a blessing. Remember, we're not thinking of affliction as a whole. We're thinking tonight of that affliction or chastisement sent to us from the Lord because we have done something. Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. See, the Lord so loves us. He goes after us. Think of our faithful shepherd. He cares for us. Not like the unfaithful shepherds, which Jesus spake of in John 10. No, he cares for us. And when he sees us going astray, he does something quite amazing. He makes his journey through the Spirit towards us. And in time, he will restore us. He goes after us. That's his faithfulness there, isn't it? What a shepherd. How faithful he is. He doesn't leave us to ourselves. Dear brethren, what would we be like as believers in our lives if we were left to ourselves for a few days? But he doesn't leave us to ourselves. He goes after us. He will follow us. You see, he's got his eye on us. Remember Peter when he denied the Lord? Peter, well, he's really forgotten the Lord until the Lord catches his eye. But the Lord had been thinking about him. He knew what he was doing. And when he denied, that is Peter, the Lord, the third time, he was looking at Peter, that is our Lord. The Lord has his eye on us. He must be so grieved when I sin. But I am the apple of his eye, and he keeps his eye on me, and he will come. He will come. He will bring me to that point when I cry out, Lord, heal my heart. And in chastising us, he will bring us back. And dear brethren, he has every right to chastise us. But oh, admire his faithfulness, that he brings us back. What a blessing. Remember, Peter was brought back to the Lord and used. He was restored. Our Lord made that plain that he would be restored. We're now converted or brought back. That restoring after that time of sifting and the sieve of Satan, he would be restored because Christ would make intercession. Dear brethren, Christ makes intercession and he will restore us. That's a blessing, isn't it? I remember when I accepted I'd done wrong as a child, and then I went back to my mother and she gave me a hug. You're forgiven. There was that restoring. And dear brethren, what a blessing it is when we know the light of the shepherd's countenance again on us. And we just sense that nearness. We know we've done wrong, but he put his finger on us. We were convicted and he brought us back. And now there's peace. What a blessing. To know the light of the countenance of the Lord upon us in a wonderful way again. He restores us. What a blessing to be restored. Secondly, chastisement is used to aid one's obedience. Verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. But now, the Lord had chastised him. There had been pain. But now, dear brethren, thank God for the restoring hand and the directing hand that assist you to obey his word, going astray, backsliding, but then the Lord brought you back, and he helped you, your mind was focused on him, and he helped you to be going forward. But now have I kept thy word. Before, I was failing my master, but now I'm seeking to glorify him. Chastisement is used to aid one in obedience. You see, we're children being trained by the Lord to follow him. And at times he must inflict pain to bring us back, that he might train us to follow him more closely. And dear brethren, what a blessing it is, isn't it, when we just sense we've been brought back and there's a renewed focus from the word. I'm going to seek to do that for the glory of God. Chastisement is used to aid one in obedience. Well, finally, thirdly, chastisement is an aid to assurance. Chastisement is an aid to assurance. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? A professing Christian ought to be concerned if they think, well, the Lord hasn't really chastised me in my life. For what do we read? For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? You see, chastisement, divine chastisement, is an aid to assurance. For whom the Lord loveth, dear brethren, he so loves you, so it will hurt at times. Something you read in the Word of God, something you hear preached, it will hurt. Because the Lord loves you. And let that be an aid to assurance. Oh, to just grasp that when we feel God's hand on us. God's hand is on us because he loves me. I am a believer. I am a Christian. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. God deals with his sons and daughters. I had faithful parents who chastised me. Why? Because I belong to them. And dear brethren, you belong to God. So he would chastise you. Let that be an aid to assurance. When you feel chastened, remember he so loves you. You belong to him. He would not deal with you in such a way if you did not belong to him. Let that be an aid to assurance. He deals with us. He brings us to a point when we repent. When we think of gospel repentance, it's a principle put within us until God wipes away all tears. It's an abiding principle, as James Fisher puts it. It's not over in the first few days. Yes, there's that initial repenting of the Lord. In that time the Lord brings us to himself. We may not all be able to pinpoint the hour, but there's that season, that initial repentance. But it's an abiding principle. And so we will be found saying sorry to the Lord if we're a true believer. It's an abiding principle. We belong to him. He's put it in our hearts. When you find yourself crying out to the Lord, forgive me, I failed thee again. I said that thing wrong again. I've done wrong. I'm struggling with my besetting sin. Lord, forgive me. Let that be an aid to assurance, because he's put that abiding principle in you. And when you feel his hand on you, pricking your conscience, crushing your soul, let that be an aid to assurance. Dear brethren, it will be painful. And we must expect pain, because he loves you with an infinite love. But it's for your blessing. It's for my blessing. And he brings us to a point where we humbly look up to him, and with godly wisdom we say with the psalmist, that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. I have no complaint. I will not murmur at this moment. I am a believer, and thou hast dealt kindly with me. It's the kind hand that trains us for his glory and for our benefit. Brethren, you feel God's hand on you at times. Make sure you don't read providence wrong, but you feel God's hand upon you at times. May this comfort arise in your heart. I belong to the Lord. He's so faithful. He's so loving to have dealt with me like this. Blessed be his name. Amen.